Okay, so last week was the intro to our new series. This week we get to actually get into the real stuff. So this should be exciting. For those who weren't here last week, just to introduce what we're doing, we're trying to take different stories in Chumash or Midrashim and show that even though they might sound very simplistic to us, or maybe they sound very complex to us, we don't understand them, or they sound childish, we're going to try to show the depth and the meaning of these stories, these Midrashim, you know, how we can understand it from a much more mature angle than we did as kids when we first heard these Midrashim, or these ideas, or these stories. So that was our goal. So starting off in Bereishis, we're going to begin and we're going to try to go through, not the entire book of Bereishis, but we'll try to pick out snippets of every single parsha and things which I think are significant to speak about. So the actual Maisa Bereishis, the creation itself, is something you could spend years studying, and it's very hard to understand. The Gemara tells us that Maisa Bereishis you can't really understand very much from. It's, you know, something which is sort of Hashem's secrets, how the world is created. The Torah reveals to us certain points on Maisa Bereishis, but the full picture is something which is kind of beyond us. But I want to do is try to explore a few points you find in creation, which seem to be, we'll call them a little bit off in our minds, or strange the way the Chazal portray it, understand the deeper idea behind it. There's a lot to understand. And on these psukim in particular, it's hard to focus on the pshat, the simple meaning, just because the simple meaning is just so out there. It's very hard to understand how God created the world. But the midrashim, which bring certain stories or ideas, they may sound to us kind of like fairy tales, but we have to show that when Chazal tell us a medrash, they're trying to tell us a very deep idea. So my focus for this week and next few weeks is going to be on the points in creation of Maisa Bereishis that we'll call, they seem to be sort of like, I don't know, mishaps or blunders or bloopers, things like that. As if, you know, God made a mistake, as it were, and had to retract something or change something. Obviously, there's no mistakes. You know, God makes no mistakes. Everything was done with full intent. But the way that Rashi or Midrashim describe these things, it sounds like something went amiss and had to be repaired. So we try to look at these stories and understand what they all mean. And before we even start, it's interesting to note, every single day had its issue. Of the 7 days of creation, besides Shabbos, I'm not aware of any issues on Shabbos, but every day of the 6 days, I found something either quoted by Rashi or in a Medrash, which seems to have gone wrong. And I'll just give you quickly the examples, and we'll talk about them much more in depth. On day one, God created the light, and Rashi quotes from a Gemara and a Medrash that says that God saw the light, that it was too good for this world, that it was, that the Rishayim would come and they would misuse it, and he had to hide it away for Tzadikim. So it's as if God made light, and oops, it's too good for these people, and I got to put it away again. It's a funny thing. If God made the light, you'd think that he made it in a way that should stay in this world. Why would he create a light and then put it away? And that's on day one. On day two, we find that God separates the upper waters from the lower waters. And then there, Rashi quotes from a Medrash that says that the lower waters were upset, and we want to be up there with you, God. You know, we want to be in the spiritual world. Why are you putting us down here on earth? And they cried, and they complained. So Hashem told them, don't worry, you'll be restored to coming into the upper worlds through karbanos. You know, if you take water and you dry it out, you get salt, and every karban got salt upon it. And also, there's a karban of water on Sukkot, Nisach HaMayim, which they would dump in the Mizbeach, and that went up back to Hashem, as it were. So it's like Hashem made, as it were, a mistake. And these waters complain, and they say, okay, I'll give in, and I'll let you come back to me again. It's a funny thing. On day three...
I've never heard. This is very new to me.
Okay, good. So you came to the right place.
I mean, I haven't heard it, like, for each day, having a something, and then something to counter it.
Right. Right. Okay, so you came to the right place to hear some new things. On day three, it says that Hashem, the way Rashi quotes the Medrash, Hashem said that the trees should be eitz pri osa pri, which Rashi understands to mean the trees were commanded that the fruit trees should bear fruit, but the bark should also taste like fruit. And then the trees didn't listen to God and only created eitz osa pri, a tree that makes fruit, but the actual bark doesn't taste like the fruit. God's sign takes some bark, but it doesn't taste like fruit. Trust me. It tastes like wood. So it sounds like the trees, why?
You tried it.
I didn't try it, but you could tell, right? It sounds like the trees didn't listen. You know, it sounds like the trees didn't listen.
Didn't listen.
Huh? So, yeah. Number four, on day four, it says that God created the sun and the moon, and they were initially the same size, Rashi explains. Right. And the moon complained, it's not fair that two kings should have to rule at the same time. So God shrunk down the moon. There's more to that story as well, which we'll get to. But again, it sounds like there was some mishap. You know, oops, I made a mistake. Or because the moon complained, it got shrunk down. But if God wants there to be a sun and the moon the same size, he would have made them, why would he shrink it down afterwards? Or if they're supposed to be different sizes, why would he make them the same size initially? On the fifth day, it says that Hashem created what he calls the Taninim, which is hard to translate, but Rashi says it alludes to the Leviathan, which is this huge creature which we talk about as the Schar for Tzadikim in Olam Haba. But it says that initially there was a male and a female Leviathan, and God saw if the two would procreate, the whole world would be destroyed by them because they were so big, and he killed the female and salted it and preserved it for the future. So again, it was like he made something and said, it's a mistake, it's not going to work, I'd better put it away for later. So that's on the fifth day. And the sixth day, of course, is the sin of Adam and Chava. And that's obviously another mishap of creation. So every day has its, I know we could describe them as bloopers or mishaps, and obviously there's no mistakes. Everything was done with total intent. Everything has a meaning to it. So what are all these issues? So that's going to be our focus next few weeks, Mirtz Hashem, is to go through all these issues and figure out what exactly they mean. So let's start from the beginning. And we'll go back to the day one. But I guess as a general overview, the way that you view any of these things, this would be the general approach to any of these issues, is that the Midrashim are describing that there's an ideal for the world, and what is created is the ideal, but then when something has to be changed, it means that it's not good for us currently. Meaning that the world has ideals to reach, but there is a process to get there. So Hashem during creation, he will create the world in its ideal form, and then as to make it practical or proper for us to live in this world, Hashem may put something away or alter it for the time being. That's the general approach. We'll talk about them more specifically. But each of these things, they were created initially, this was the ideal goal, but because we're not ready for that type of existence yet, we're going to alter it, change it, put it away for later, and then, you know, Ritz Hashem, in the future, we'll come back to that same state of being. That's how they all seem to fit in, as a general rule. So we'll go through them specifically and we'll understand it. So I want to start, you have this in the packet on the first page over here. So I want to start from the very first day. It's a good place to start, day one. And talk about the creation of light. So if you look at the packet, we can look at the pasuk together. This is it's in Bereishis Perek Aleph. We're looking at Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. So it's talking about the creation of light. It says, V'yomer Elokim yehi or, vayhi or. So God said there shall be light, and there was light. V'yar Elokim esa or ki tov, God saw the light that it was good. V'yavde Elokim bein ha'or v'ein ha'choshech. So God separated between the light and the darkness. Let's do one more pasuk. Vayikra Elokim la'or yom. God called the light daytime. V'choshech kara layla. And he called the darkness nighttime. Vayirva vilker yom echad. So it's evening of his morning, the first day. So that's the creation of light. If we were to peek at Rashi right now, we'll get back to more Rashi later. But if you look at Rashi, if you want to look inside the Rashi, it's in the left column. It's in pasuk Dawud we're going to look. It says, Vayikra Elokim la'or ki tov. So Rashi says, "Af bazen etzrichim adivrei agada." So Rashi immediately tells us that we can't just translate this literally. We need to come on to some explanation of a medrash to understand it. Meaning, Rashi says that the simple translation or pshat won't suffice here. We have to talk about something else. So Rashi quotes. He says, "Ra'o she'enu kadai l'shtamish b'rishayim." That Hashem saw that this light he created was not proper for Rishayim to use. So Hashem had to separate it out for tzaddikim in the future. But if you want to translate it literally and understand it on a pshat level, you'd say the following. Hashem saw the light was good. That darkness and light should not serve together as a mixture. The So Hashem set aside that the light should be during the day and darkness at night, and the two shouldn't mix. So that's the way that Rashi explains this pasuk. So he says it first. So you have to have a medrash to explain this. It doesn't work if you just take it on the pshat level. And then he says, but the pshat would be that light and dark shouldn't mix, so we're going to separate them into day and night. So that's Rashi. But it's always important, before we understand Rashi's medrash, let's understand why Rashi felt that he had to have a medrash. I mean, this is something, whenever you learn Chumash, especially with Rashi, If Rashi has to come on to some sort of medrash to explain a pasuk, it means there's something pasuk that indicates that. Now, Rashi always wants to give us pshat. Rashi doesn't want to talk about medrashim, but he doesn't have to. So when Rashi says, I have to have a medrash to explain this, he must see issues in the pasuk that kind of suggest that we have to have a medrash. So just to look at the pasuk together, we have a few things here which are funny in this pasuk. Let's go back for a second to pasuk Gimel. It says, V'yomer Elokim Yehiyor, God shall let there be light. And that's a typical usage of the wording. In Bereishis, that's how Hashem creates, that there shall be. Yehi, that's normal. But it says, Vayhi Or. It says, and then there was light. If you look at the rest of the days of creation, it always responds, God said there shall be X, and then it says, Vayhi Chen, and it was so. So for instance, you know, it says that there should be... if you look at the bottom here, you see the very last line on this page. Test. Hashem said the water shall gather into one place, and it was so. And that's the typical language used every day of creation, and it was so. But when it comes to light, it says and there was light. So that's out of the ordinary. That's strange. Why is that? Additionally, then the next pasuk itself is totally strange. It says that God saw the light was good. Was that a surprise to God? Like, he didn't know the light was good? Like, he made it, hey, that's pretty good, you know? Like, that's what we do sometimes, you know? We make something, and we didn't realize how good it would be. And say, that's a pretty good, you bake something, you know? That's a pretty good cake, you know? That's, obviously Hashem knew what he was doing. So why would the pasuk, what did he see exactly? And this is the Ramban asked this kasha. He says, was it a surprise to Hashem? Like, he wasn't sure what was going to happen, and then, like, oh, surprise, the light's very good? Well, it's very strange. And what does it mean that it was good? Kitov. This is every other day besides the second day. It says the words ki tov. Usually, it's about the entire day. It will say Hashem saw everything he did that day was good. But on the first day, it says specifically the light was good. So something about light in particular describes as good.
But that's all he did on that day. It was just the light.
That's true. That's a good question. But on the other hand, it could have said in more general that it doesn't have to say Vayar is a or kitov, just say Vayar kitov. He saw that it was good. It stresses the or was good. So you have that. And then it says he is separated. So what is he separating exactly? Being on a simple level, darkness and light can't be together. When there's light, there's no darkness. And when the lights are on, the darkness is not there. So it says Hashem separated light from darkness. Again, it's a funny thing. How do you separate light from darkness? If there's light, there's no darkness. And if it's dark, it means there's no light in the room. What are you separating exactly? So the whole thing, there's a lot of questions to ask about this pasuk. What did Hashem see? The Yara says he saw. What did he see? So all these questions suggest something more in this pasuk than a simple translation. If you want to just understand the simple pshat, so one of the first places that you would go very often would be, you look at the Rishonim and Chumash, and you have, let's say, the Rashbam or the Ibn Ezra. Those are two that are known, that they really are very loyal to the actual words and the translation, and they don't go off too much into Midrashim or any sort of more esoteric explanations. So the Rashbam says very simply that in the beginning of creation in Pasuk Beis, it says that there was water. It says there was choshech, there was darkness, and there was water. So it says that, well, if it's dark, then the remedy for that is making light. So Hashem then made light. He wanted to fix that with the light. So he simply created light, and he said, well, that's beautiful, because now my world is lit up. That's what Rashbam says. It doesn't really answer all of our questions, but it just shows that now there's light in the world.
What, you said there's water in this pasuk?
In Pasuk Beis, it says that there was the Ruach of Hashem hovering over the water. But it says before that, the whole world was darkness over the depths of the water. So if it's dark, the first thing you want to do is turn on the lights. That's a simple understanding, but doesn't really answer all of our questions. He then says that the Yavdel was separated, means that he organized day and night into 12-hour periods. I mean, at this point, there was no sun or moon. So usually, his day is determined by his sun. But if there's no sun, Hashem has to actually proactively declare day versus night. So the Yavdel would be that night versus day is being declared. So that's the Rashbam's understanding. Again, usually Havdalah doesn't mean just to organize. It means you're actually separating things out. Like you're some, like we Havdalah is separating Shabbos from weekday. It's not just declaring. It's not just organizing. So it's still not clear what all this means. One other point before we get to the deeper understanding. The Sforno says that Vayar doesn't mean he saw something new. I mean, we ask the question, if Hashem saw it was good, it means he's like surprised by it. Wow, this is great light. The Sforno says the other way around. He says Vayar was that Hashem previously understood. He says Yar means understand. Hashem previously understood that light's a good thing for creation. So it's not noticing afresh, but it's really understanding and recognizing it from before. And therefore, Hashem then designated sun, day versus night, because he saw that it's a good thing for the world to have light. So we're trying to keep it very, very simple right now, but all these different pshatim are revolving around the fact that Hashem wanted the world to have light. There's no sun and moon yet, so he made some light, and he had to declare day and night to kind of remain on their own, because we had no physical, or I guess astronomical thing to look at to make it into daytime or nighttime. One more point from the Ramban. The Ramban says, in general, that when it says that Hashem vayar, that Hashem saw, it doesn't mean, like, literally Hashem saw something new. The Ramban says it means that Hashem desired his continued existence. So Vayar Elokim's Or Ki Tov means Hashem desired there to be light. So Hashem saw it was good, meaning Hashem's giving it its permanence. That's what Hashem was doing. And Vayavdil means Hashem gave light its limits, didn't overtake the world. There's places of light and places of darkness. And that's what he says. So that's all the Pashup Shot. Like last week we spoke about there's levels of understanding Pesukim. So we always want to see what's the simple understanding first, and then we can move into the deeper understanding. So putting all these things together, there was a creation of light. Hashem deemed light to be a good thing, even from before, possibly, according to the Sforno. Hashem, though, wanted to organize the world into day and night, and there was no sun yet, so he had to declare, okay, there's day and there's night, and that's how the world functioned for the beginning of creation. But even with all this, it's still complicated, because the word vayar that he saw is still a strange thing to say, and the idea that light is good, I mean, it's a funny term. Nothing else is described in particular as being good besides light. So what does all this mean? So Rashi says, well, you have to have divrei agada. You have to have some sort of medrash to really get this point. And I'll refer back to what we said last week. You know, the Torah comes in many, many levels. And it's going to have always a pshat. It'll have every level. But in certain places, it could be that a deeper level is the more primary understanding, and the simple level is the secondary understanding. Meaning the main point of this may indeed be the deeper understanding, and not the simple part. But the simple part indicates there's something deeper going on over here. So I said last week that the mashal, that you know, we refer to layers of Torah like clothing. And very often, you know, the style of clothing is that you have an outer garment, but it leaves open some of the inner garment. You know, the jacket's made, but there's a cut on the top, so you can see the shirt under it. And the idea being that's part of the style itself. And the Torah says there's an outer layer, but we're leaving open some space because you're going to see the next layer now. So I want to move to the next layer, so understand more about this medrash. It's important to understand the deeper part of it. So let's refer back to this Rashi. Rashi said that Hashem saw the light was too good, that it wasn't proper for Rishayim to use, and Hashem knew the world would have Rishayim, that there will be people in the world to do the wrong things, and therefore Hashem had to hide away the light. So Hashem saw there's some special quality of this light, that's Vayar Elokim. Hashem saw, I mean, he saw that there's something special about this light that's not good for the world right now as is. Vayavdel, and he separated it out for tzaddikim in the future. So we have to first understand that if Hashem made light, but there was no sun yet, it's not light as we know it. I mean, what?
That's what I was questioning.
Yeah, right, good.
Light without sun.
That very much, you know, supports what Rashi is saying. This is some other kind of light. This is not normal light. You know, as far as we know, that's to be a sun, that's to be stars. You can have electric lights, but to have light with nothing else, just light there, is something we don't really get, because this light was a different kind of light. It wasn't the light that we're used to. That's, I think, the first point to understand. And there's two types of light. So there's light that we're aware of, which helps us see the physical world. But there's a deeper light. There's some other light which is not bound to the sun or to a star or to a light bulb. It helps us see something much deeper than the physical world in front of us. I think we discussed this a couple years back on Hanukkah time. An idea similar to this. We're going to expand upon a little bit more over here. But there's an idea called, we refer to this as Or HaGanuz, as a hidden light. I mean, it wasn't Ganuz initially, it wasn't hidden away right away, but now it's hidden. And this light is not just the way you can see the world, it's something much deeper than that. So let's take this. This is one of these examples where it sounds like a cute little story. Hashem saw the light was really good, he put it away in a box for the future. But what does it mean for us? How do we understand this? So Rashi is really basing himself off of a Gemara, Maseches Chagiga, and that Gemara discusses the initial light a little bit. And that Gemara says that the initial light that was created, you could see with this light from one end of the world to the other. So Misofa Olam Ad Sofa, the Gemara says. Meaning what? You know, physical light has its limit. In sunlight, you can only see so far. Even if you have an open field and it's a clear day, you can only see so far. I'm sure scientists can tell you exactly how far that the best human eye can see. But it's not one in the world to the other. That's for sure not. But this light was a special light because it was a spiritual vision. It was something much further than physical light.
Until the end of the world?
To the end of the world, it says. I mean, to the end of... Well, the wording is Misofa Olam Ad Sofa, from one end of the world to the other. But what I think it really means is it's not talking about a physical, it's talking about a spiritual light, which helps you understand everything about the world. It's interesting, the Gemara actually brings an example, a different Gemara, but it says that, you know, don't question the fact that one can see beyond their own location, because sometimes you can be having a dream and you're seeing what's happening in Spain. That's the Gemara says. You know, so why would you choose Spain? I don't know. But the point is that, you know, when you're not dealing with physical constraints, the vision goes much further. And we're only limited because we're physical and we're dealing with physical constraints. But if we were to be able to tap into, you know, when you're asleep, you're dealing more in the spiritual realm, and you can see things in other places that you wouldn't see when you're awake. The very first creation that we find in Bereishis is light. You know, the first Vayomer Elokim, let's create something, that's the heat or earth, that's the idea of light. Because the idea of light is, it's not just, oh, the world is dark, let's turn on the lights. The idea is that Hashem wants to create the ability to have perception in this world, that we should understand. You know, the main goal of the human being, you know, we talk about in English very often, I've been enlightened, you know, I see the light. And it's the same mashal that Chazal would give, that light is understanding. Light is perception. Light is the ability to perceive. It's the ability to understand the world, to see beyond ourselves. So the initial thing made in the world, the initial state of the entire Bria, is a world of light. Because Hashem says this world is here for the human being, and the human being's goal is to use the human mind to understand to the best of his or her ability. Now, what distinguishes an animal from a human being? So Rashi says that, you know, we know there's an idea of Tzelem Elokim, and Rashi tells us that the real distinction, he says, is Lahavin Elahaskil, it's to understand. It's the human mind. We see that very, very much. You know, animals are stronger than us in so many ways. Animals can be faster, they can be smart, they can see further, they can smell better, they can build better. What do we have over animals? We have our brains. That's what we have. Also communication, Michonne talked about. But we'll talk about that separately. But the main thing is the human mind. It's the human mind. So Hashem made the world, and the very first thing he did was he put into the world the ability to achieve the goal. And the goal is understanding. The goal is the ability to reach our tachlis, is to be able to understand everything we possibly can. That's the role of the human mind. The human has an incredible capacity for understanding, for Torah, for the world, for secrets of the universe, for infinite. We can even understand Hashem to some level, to our own level. But this level of understanding is really the purpose of human being. That's our hallmark, that's what we are, and that's our purpose. So the first thing Hashem does is he puts into the world light. And not just any light, he puts in a light which is the light that helps you understand everything in the world. This is the light which will, the pun, that will enlighten us, you know, to the greatest of our ability. But yet, Hashem also gives us free choice. And Hashem knows that people are going to do the wrong things. And to be privy to this light, to be able to have this deep understanding, you have to be worthy of it. You have to earn it. So what Hashem does, he says, well, this light's not kedai lishtash b'rishayim. I don't want the wicked to use this light, and therefore I'm going to hide it. I'm going to hide it away. So that's also funny. Hashem wants the righteous to use the light, but not the wicked. So why does Hashem hide it away? It's not fair. You know, if we're righteous, we should be able to use the light. Why does Hashem put it away like that? So that'll bring us to our first sheet over here. If you want to turn to the next page in the packet. There's this term used. Every word that you find in Chazal or Medrash, it has a certain meaning, has an implication beyond just the translation. There's concepts. And the term we call this light the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. And Rashi says that's what Hashem did. Hashem was Hashem had to separate it for tzaddikim in the future. It was separated out, and we refer to it as he was gunzo. He was hidden away. It's or gunuz. It's the hidden light. So what's the idea of it being gunuz? What's the word gunuz mean? And so this is a piece here from Pachel Yitzchak, from Rav Yitzchak Huttner. He's talking about a different topic. This is on the, it's the second page of the packet. It's a packet on top. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's long. But he just gives a very important explanation of when you find the term that something is nignaz or ganuz, what it actually means in Chazal's terminology. One example of that is the Aron. Now, we know that Yoshi HaMelech, he was gonez. The Aron is nignaz. The Aron was hidden away. So what does it mean? It's hidden away. So I'll tell you in short, we'll read it inside, but in short, the idea of being of nignaz is that it's still, it's no longer out in the open.
Is this the same shorot as geniza?
Yes, yes. It's not out in the open, but still is accessible. I mean, it still impacts our world, even though it's behind the scenes. So we look at the aron. The aron, we may not be able to access it nowadays, and we can't see it, but we still understand the aron impacting our world. So the Or HaGanuz as well, this hidden light, hidden doesn't mean that no one can have it. Hidden means that it's beneath the surface, it's behind the scenes, but it still impacts us, and it could be accessed by those who are Zoha to access it. So if you look over here, we're jumping in the middle of a piece, but that's we're just going to pull out something we want to see. It's paragraph Hey, it begins, and we'll start... If you go to the fourth line, I'll start over there. Fourth line. It says, "Kol chukei hateva einam ela hagbalos." He says that all laws of nature are limits. Hagbalos elu b'mahusan omdos hem b'stira l'oso or harishoni. These limits, they stand in opposition to the first light that we're discussing, this hidden light, she'aschol abrius olam, which is the beginning of the world. As we said, the hidden light allowed us to perceive everything with no limits, but our physical existence gives us limits, and we can't perceive everything. We're limited. She'kel ora rishon hazeh nemar shebohai adam sofim sofa olam sofa. This is the first light. Adam could use it to see from one end of the world to the other. Harei or harishoni hazeh michevan she'ein lo tachlis mafkiyei mikol sog shel hagbala. This first light had no limits, so it's able to remove itself from any limit, and it's not bound to the laws of nature. So those are limitations. But it was hidden away for tzaddikim. So now he explains what it means to be hidden away. Anybody who thinks about the truth, it should be clear to him or her. Hakara ki b'chol makom shechazal omer mal eze davar shu nignaz. When Chazal says something is nignaz, it's hidden, it doesn't mean it's non-existent in regards to the world, meaning that we don't look at it as if it's gone. It's not gone. When it says the Aron is nignaz, it would be false to say that after it's hidden, that there's no difference in the world between the Aron existing and being gone. Because the Aron exists. If it exists right now in the world, there's some benefit. So when they say Shabaram Nignaz, when they say it's hidden, Hakavana Hishasug Pulaso Nishtana Mikona Magniza, Lachagniza means that the way that it impacts the world has changed from before and after. The Koda Magniza is a Pulaso Begilu Ilhedja. Before it was hidden away, its impact was open and clear. But once it's hidden away, it still impacts the world, but it does it in a hidden way. This is the same thing when it comes to this first light. It means that first light, it still exists, but in a hidden manner. I copied the wrong page. Nope, that's a mistake. I copied the wrong page there. My other page here. I'm sorry. I'll read it, but no one else has this part. This is the teacher's edition. So, as it refers to things that are nace, they're miraculous, or natural. It's just a matter of two different functions of the first light. He continues, I'm going to skip over it. He continues that, therefore, now we can understand that the laws of the Torah are here to make a Pesach, to give us a key to unlocking the hidden light. I mean, the light is still in our world, It still impacts us. It's just hidden away. But we could access it. As we learn Torah, as we perform mitzvos, as we follow halachos, that is the key for us to open up this hidden light and let it out and be able to utilize it to some degree. And we'll talk more about that. But just to put that aside for a second, Rav Hunder is teaching us a very important thing. When Chazal say that something is nignaz, they don't mean that it's gone. They don't mean that it's being reserved for the future. They mean it's impacting the world as is right now. It's just not out in the open. It's hidden away, which means that it is impacting us in a subtle level, and we could still access it if we have the right keys. That's how we view it. So this light as well, Hashem said, I'm putting it away right now because I can't have Rishayim use it. But what it does is that it's able to weed out the Rishayim and only allow Tzadikim to access it. If it was out in the open, a Rasha could take that light and he can misuse it and corrupt the world with it. But now that it's hidden away, a Tzadik who's doing the right things can, through his mitzvos, through his Torah, through his actions, can access that light and use it in a proper way. So those who use it properly will be able to be zocha to it. Those who won't use it properly aren't going to be zocha to it. And that was the setup. So if we were to put it all together just momentarily, it says, you know, the world, the purpose of the human being is to be able to understand. Hashem gave us a mind which goes far beyond any other creature in this world because we're supposed to be able to use it to understand the world. Understand Hashem, understand Torah, understand life. The light is the ability to perceive and understand. The very first light was an unlimited understanding. It was something which was not natural, it was supernatural, and it gave the human being access to understand everything about the world. All the secrets of the world were in his hands. But because there is Rishayim in the world, Hashem said it has to be hidden. It can't be out in the open. So Hashem put it away in Geniza, which means that we can't, it's not in the open, it's not accessible to all, but if you do the right things, you can access it. And it kind of is able to sort out who deserves to use this light and who doesn't. So that's how we're explaining it until now. The Medrash says that where do you find it hidden away? So it says that Hashem hid it away in the Torah, which means that through Torah, that's the Torah, as Rav Hunder pointed this out as well, the Torah is our key. If we learn Torah, keep Torah, do mitzvos, that gives us access to the light. If we don't, then we don't have that access. If to put it in just other terms, there's a Kabbalistic term used, which we'll take it at a very simple level. You know, it talks about the world being filled with klipos, which is shells. And Kabbalistically, if you break a shell, what comes out of it? Light. Right? There's klipos and there's or. So, Kabbalistically, many things are described as being a klipa, but if you can break through the shell, you find light under the shell. So if we were to take that on a very, very simple level, I would think it sounds very much connected to this concept. That, you know, the whole world is full of these shells that kind of block us from understanding and from doing the right things. Torah and mitzvos are able to break through these klipos, these shells, and when you crack the shell, out comes the light. Out comes this beautiful light, which we can use to understand much more about life, about the world. So in other words, Chazal describing the following point, that the whole purpose of the human being is to understand and to recognize Hashem. Understand the truth in the greatest way possible. This must be achieved by those who do the work to get there. You know, those who deserve it. So those who we can experience this light, this incredible understanding, this incredible pleasure of understanding Hashem, understanding the world, has to be earned. And we have to filter out those who don't deserve it. So Hashem puts the Or HaGanuz in the world as an ideal, as a goal. That's why it's first created. But then Hashem says, but I can't let everybody access this. This is a goal, so it has to go into creation. So I'm gonna set it up in a way that it gets put away, and those who deserve it will access it, and those who don't won't access it. And that's what Rashi is describing with this idea of the Or HaGanuz. This is the very first event of Bereishis, as we have it in the Chumash. Why? Because it's a purpose in the life. It's a purpose of the world. You know, Hashem sets up the world where the human being is given this initially. This is your goal. We say, Sof Masa Machshava Techila, that the very first thought is the end goal. And the very first thought is that I want to put light in the world so you can understand. And your end goal is to access all of that light. It's very, very similar. It's interesting. The Gemara describes, and there's a famous idea we're all probably aware of, that a baby learns the entire Torah in the mother's womb. So besides that point, you know, Chazal described a lot of interesting points about a baby inside the mother's womb. And one thing it says is that the baby has this candle, and with that light he can see from one end of the world to the other. Same exact description that we have of this very first light of creation is given about a baby in the mother's womb. So how do we understand that? The whole idea of learning Torah in the womb and the idea of this light in the womb, I mean, the baby, when he or she comes out, forgets it all. I mean, there's nothing left of that experience, seemingly. But the idea is that there's a capacity put into the baby that now, when he is born, he can then achieve these goals. I mean, when something is there initially, even though you lose it, but you still have some sort of connection to it. And therefore, it's much easier to achieve if you already experienced it. So the baby is given in the womb the vision of everything. Right? The same vision, the same glow of this light from creation. Misofa Ulamatsofa, the baby is given in the womb, just like the world had in the initial stage of creation. And then it's taken away. And then the baby is given a lifetime to read, to be able to reconstitute that vision once again and be able to see those goals. If you turn to the next page here, in the packet, I have a quote here from Rav Dessler, who talks about this idea as well. And he quotes from our Rashi, I put it in brackets there, it's Rav Dessler, it says on top page 19, it says, if you look where I bracketed it off, go down three lines. He says, V'yesh lishol, im kein lama bro kiliganza, why would Hashem create a light just to hide it?
I'm not really sure.
It's this page here.
Okay.
If you see that, I put a bracket on a paragraph over here. So go three lines into that paragraph. Okay. End of that line. V'yesh l'shol, im kein lama baro kedei l'gunza. Why would Hashem create the light just to hide it away? Ela inyan shim haya pam ba'olam or kazeh. The matter is like this. If there was light like this in the world at one point, if this light did exist in the world at some point, af shenignas, even if it's hidden, kal yoser l'giya elav, it's easier to actually reach it. Because it's not creating something new, it's just restoring what was there. It's easier to restore what was than to create a brand new thing. We find that before a baby is born, he looks from one end of the world to the other, he understands the world to its greatest capacity, as we said. And we teach him the entire Torah, but yet he forgets it all when he's born. This is one of the reasons we have a Shalom Zachar, is we're mourning over the loss of the baby's Torah. But the point is that the baby can then restate himself to that level through his own free choice. He already knew the entire Torah. He already understood the entire world. So it's gone, but the capability is within. The capacity is there. Anything Hashem gives us from above is the same thing. Hashem will first give us these incredible visions and inspiration, and then Hashem removes it from us so we can then go back to it through our own personal avoda. So the world was like that as well. The world was given this tremendous vision of this light, and then Hashem put it away and said, okay, now earn it yourself. And if you deserve it, you'll get to it. And if not, then you won't. So now we can look at this pasuk from two levels. We have the pshat, and then we have this much deeper understanding. The pshat is talking about light, and that Hashem put light in the world, and Hashem made it into day and night, and that's the pshat. Rashi says that we had to make sure the light and the dark didn't mix. But a much deeper understanding was that Hashem was setting up the world for its purpose. Hashem set up the world that you're going to live as human beings with the goal to understand as much as you possibly can about life, and about Hashem, and about the world. The ability is there. But I'm going to hide it away so that Sadiqim will be able to access it and Rashayim won't. And both levels are totally true, the Pshat level and this deeper level. This deeper level gives us so much more of an understanding of what this is all about. I want to take this more practical for a second. You know, we call this Shir, but what does it mean? What does it mean to me was part of the title. Now, what does it mean to me? I mean, this concept is a fascinating idea, but how does it apply to us? And practically, I think it's very, very important. We have to understand that if there is this light, which means that a deeper understanding of life and of Hashem, and it's accessible, that when we perform mitzvos, or we study Torah, we're actually accessing this deeper light. Which means that we have to recognize the understanding we get from living life as Jews. I mean, every mitzvah we do, besides just performing a command, is giving us a new understanding into something in the world. Whether it be davening, lighting Shabbos candles, eating a piece of matzah, doing chesed. But it's not just an action, but it's actually unlocking a little more light for us. And maybe we become a little more kind. We understand kindness better. we understand holiness better. We understand people better. We understand Hashem a little bit more. But everything we do, it's a slow process. It's little steps. But every step we take is bringing us a little more of this hidden light, which is behind the scenes. I want to close with this last piece here, Sfas Emes. This is the last page in the packet. The Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes discusses this idea as well. And he kind of brings out this more practical type point. He quotes in the Medrash, "B'Medrash lekachtum asati lachem dechsev ma'avrab tuvchat sefanta." So the Medrash says when the Torah is called Tov, the Torah is lekach Tov. It's a good taking. It's a good gift. And then there's another pasuk that says ma'avrab tuvcha. How good is all of the reward you have hidden away from the tzaddikim? But the word Tov is used in both contexts. So the Sfas Emes explains the Isa Orsh Nivra Meshis Mebreshis. We know that the light created a creation. It allowed you to see throughout the entire world. The Gunzokash Baruch Hu Tzadikim, Hashem hid it away for Tzadikim. Veheicha Nignaz, and where was it hidden? B'Torah. It was hidden in the Torah. Shenikres Tov Al Shem Or HaGunuz. It was called Tov. The Torah is called Tov. Why? Because it has the light in it. He's thinking, look at our pasuk. Pasuk says Hashem saw the Or Ki Tov. Hashem saw the light was good. And the Torah is called Tov. Why? Because this light is in the Torah. So the Torah now is Tov. Because the light is good, so the Torah is good. That's the Tov. And the Yaro came or Ki Tov. V'nimsa ki ayideh Torah mitzvos. We see through Torah and mitzvos, Zoche Adam leze'or. A person merits this light. V'emes nimsa or azeh b'chol makom. And the truth is, you can find this light anywhere. Ki chiyas kol ha'olamos. This light is what gives life to all the worlds. Rakshunister, but it's hidden. Yimna Mershayim Oram. It says that Hashem holds back from Mershayim the light. So it's hidden away because we don't want Mershayim to misuse it. If you give someone who's wicked too much information, you don't know what he's going to do with it. That's the problem. Too much understanding for Russia is not good. Umuchrach shegam lehem yesh nekudim oso or rach she'enu nigla lehem. Kfi masha adam osa kol maisim, based on the actions we do, al pi Torah mitzvos, through Torah mitzvos, mizgal lava or, it's revealed to us the light. Sheish bechol ma'isa breishis, the light of ma'isa breishis. Ma'ayinu dechsev, ki ner mitzvah, shemeir lo adam leida is derech yishkon or. The ner is a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a candle, because it lights up for us the path of where light will dwell. V'chaynikros ha-Torah lekach tov, shemitzavos ha-Torah zoch adam latov sheish bechol makam. The Torah is called lekach tov, because by means of the Torah, we merit this light in all places. So the point being, it's a whole outlook on our actions. Mitzvahs are supposed to not just be something good that we do, but they should be enlightening us. And I think all of us, we think back, you know, in our lives, the mitzvahs we've done, they do teach us. We don't always recognize it on the spot. Sometimes it's a slow, gradual process. But if you do mitzvahs over a course of time, you understand things differently. You'll feel a little bit more comfortable with understanding of people, with the world, with how to engage and interact with others, how to interact with yourself, how to treat people, all sorts of things. You know, you understand more about Hashem and how He acts, and reward and punishment and creation, all sorts of things. But it's not just because you thought about it. It's because you did these mitzvos and you've unlocked a little bit of this light. And that's locked away inside this box, and this light then shines out. You understand the world in a much different degree. So this is the basis of creation, because Hashem says this world is here for you to understand, but you have to earn it yourself. And therefore, I put into the world this light. It's going to be reserved and hidden away in Olam Haba. It says eventually. It says the real light's meant in Lasid Lavo. Olam Haba is a world where we are zocheh to access all this understanding. We talk about a world where a person sits as Nehenem Ziva Shechina. You know, you sit there and you enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, which we understand to mean that there'll be this understanding of the world, which everything comes together, we get everything, it'll all make sense to us, we'll understand Torah, understand more about Hashem. It'll be a vast understanding of everything in life, which we're missing right now. And that's the ultimate, you know, sitting there with the Or HaGanuz and enjoying that final reward. Until then, we get, you know, snippets, we get bits and pieces of it, but ultimately we'll get the entire light. And that's the ultimate goal of the Or HaGanuz, is to be the light of Olam Haba. That's where it's going. So this is one of those little stories which at first is a cute story in Rashi, but now you see like how much Chazal put into those words and how much depth there is in this little concept. Any questions?